We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's game day, Brew Crew fans, and we'll get you ready before first pitch. Coming up, today's starting lineups. We'll debate the hot topics in Milwaukee. Plus, you'll hear from the skipper. Now, live from the Fan On Deck Studios, this is the Pella Windows and Doors Baseball On Deck Show, presented by Allegra Allergy Relief, on Sports Radio, 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Happy Sunday, Brewers fans. Anthony Mandela with you this afternoon. It's Game 3, Brewers Pirates. You're listening to the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin On Deck Show, presented by Allegra Allergy Relief. The crew with a chance to do something today that they haven't done since July of 2016. That's sweep the Pirates at Miller Park. Got plenty to do today. Get you ready for the game, field and game conditions, an injury update. You heard a little taste there in the update from Nick Bodie. Tell you who's hot, who's not. Go inside the clubhouse. Get you your daily report from manager Craig Counsell. It's the scoop from the skipper. Of course, as usual, we'll talk to the franchise, Tim Allen, host of the Baseball Postgame Show right here on The Fan. Get you the starting lineups. But first things first, as I mentioned, the Brewers a chance to sweep the Pirates today at Miller Park. And that comes in part thanks to a Game 2 victory yesterday. It was Zach Davies and the former Brewer, Jordan Lyles, going at it in the starting pitching matchup. Things relatively uneventful in the first inning of yesterday's ball game, but in the top of the second, a little bit of trouble for number 27. Josh Bell, a big home run threat for the Buccos, leading off for Pittsburgh. He drew a four-pitch walk, though. Instead, it was Colin Moran making Davies pay.
And Moran, that's deep into right field. That's big trouble. Yelich is going to watch this one fly out. A two-run home run for Colin Moran.
That made it 2-0 Pirates after the top half of the second frame, but in the bottom half, the crew got a little creative. It was the Pirates with the long ball in the top. The Brewers then playing a little bit of small ball. Station to station, it was Eric Thames leading off with a strikeout, and after that, things got going. Travis Shaw doing what he's been doing really well this season despite a low batting average. The on-base, not bad. He drew a walk, six pitches for the Brewers' third baseman. Orlando Arcia then found a gap. It was deep left center.
You have to be mentally strong to perform. That ball's ripped into the gap. It goes. Arcia sends one to the wall. Travis Shaw on his way to third. He's going to be waved home. And a bad throw in from the outfield. And Shaw scores on a double by Arcia. The Pirates could not execute the cutoff and relay. And Shaw cruises in as Arcia stays hot.
The RBI double from Orlando Arcia got the crew on the board. Still trailing by a run, though. It brought up the pitcher spot, Zach Davies. And he wasn't able to reach base, but he did give the Brewers an opportunity to make things a little bit easier. Orlando Arcia swiping third base with Davies at the dish. And that made things just that much easier for the top of the order, Lorenzo Cain with an RBI single.
Third steal for Arcia. And the 1-2 to Cain in the air, right field, falling fast. That's down, a base hit. In the score is Arcia. We are tied at two as Lorenzo Cain delivers on a two-out, two-strike single.
Yep, got jammed on a pitch up and in and just kind of farted off into right. Good job.
Lorenzo Cain into the RBI column with that single. Orlando Arcia scores. It's 2-2 between the two teams after two innings. Top of the third, though, the Pirates not liking it that way. They come out hot out of the gates, back-to-back-to-back singles to start the top of the third inning. Had Davies in a no-out bases loaded jam, with the Pirates' home run leader again, Josh Bell, an opportunity to tear this game open, stepping into the batter's box. The damage, though, minimal. A sack fly for Bell. It scored Kevin Newman from third, and then Davies getting out of the jam, back-to-back outs, following the sack fly from Josh Bell. So the Pirates do score. They lead it there 3-2, but Mike Moustakas had something to say about that.
Moustakas turns on this one, a high fly ball to right. That's a short wall over there, and Reynolds is at the wall, and she is gone, and we are tied. Mike Moustakas, his 19th home run of the season.
The Moose chants out at Miller Park, home run 19 on the season for Mike Moustakas, as you heard on the call there from Brian Anderson, Fox Sports Wisconsin, pulling his team back even, 3-3. Yasmani Grandal, Eric Thames then draw back-to-back walks. Still nobody out, but Travis Shaw, Orlando Arcia, Zach Davies go down in order, killing what could have been a rally there at just one run. So after three now, the guys tied 3-3 at Miller Park. The Pirates don't score in the top half of the fourth inning, but in the bottom of the fourth, things broke in the Brewers' favor. It was Lorenzo Cain drawing a leadoff walk. He advanced to second on a Christian Yelich groundout, and that was close enough for Ryan Braun to bring him home.
There's Braun, base hit right center. Cain got a late start. He is going to try to score. The throw goes into second base, and it's an RBI single for Ryan Braun. The Brewers have the lead 4-3.
4-3 Brewers there. Mike Moustakas then grounding into a double play ended the inning. We fast forward to the top of the sixth at Miller Park. The score is still 4-3. Zach Davies' day was done there. Five innings, three runs, all of them earned on seven hits, including that home run to get the Pirates going in the second by Colin Moran. Three strikeouts and a walk for Zach Davies on the afternoon. Alex Claudio on to pitch. He went three up, three down. A little bit of an uncharacteristic outing in that regard for Alex Claudio. Bottom of the eighth as we fast forward again. It was Manny Pena on to pinch hit for the pitcher spot. Not a common situation if you're a guy hitting less than 150 and your team only up by one. But Manny Pena taking care of business.
Brewers have had the lead since the fourth. Pena sends one way back. And this one's going to fly out of here. The Pineapple Express gives the Brewers a two-run lead. Second on the year for Manny.
Pineapple power for a 5-3 Brewers lead there heading into the final frame. Pena remained in the game to catch for Josh Hader. Three batters, three strikeouts. That was a wrap. The save number 15 for Josh Hader after that three up, three down inning. It was a good day for the bullpen. Only one hit given up. It was Junior Guerra, a single to Melky Cabrera, the only base runner allowed by the Brewers bullpen. Alex Claudio, Jeremy Jeffress, scoreless outings, no hits, no walks from either of them. Zach Davies got the win. The Brewers record 7-0 now to start the season for Zach Davies. His ERA sitting at 2.41. The crew just finding ways to get it done as of late. They're 5-2 in the month of June. Going to try to complete the sweep today, make that six wins. How does Craig Counsell have them lined up to get the job done?
You're listening to the Pella Windows and Doors On Deck Show on The Fan. Who's batting first? Here's today's look around the diamond with the starting lineup. Sponsored by Waukesha Sports Cards, your shopping headquarters for sports collectibles and authentic hand-signed memorabilia. Go to WaukeshaSportsCards.com for a list of their upcoming autograph signings.
Start things off here with the visiting Pittsburgh Pirates. They got off to a little bit of a hot start in 2019. They've cooled off substantially. 30-33 are the Buccos. Fourth place in the National League Central, managed by Clint Hurdle. Adam Frazier at second base, leading off tonight for them, the left-hander. Brian Reynolds bats second and in left field. Starling Marte, the center fielder, will bat third. Josh Bell, on his way to punching a ticket to the All-Star game, the switch-hitting first baseman, cleaning up tonight for the guys in black and yellow. Colin Moran, the third baseman, will bat fifth, followed by Gregory Polanco in right field. Jung-ho Kang, the shortstop, tonight, or this afternoon rather, batting seventh. Elias Diaz, the catcher for the Pirates, he bats eighth. And on to pitch and batting ninth, it's Stephen Brault, the left-hander who enjoys pitching at Miller Park. In his career, he's 1-1, a 3.43 earned run average in six appearances, three of them starts. That's his best ERA at any National League park where he's made multiple starts. On the season, though, with Pittsburgh, a different story. He is 2-1, but his ERA up at 545 in 10 games, four starts for Brault. Started the year in the pen with Pittsburgh. He's been in and out of the rotation since then. The Milwaukee Brewers, the home team, and the guys looking for a sweep this afternoon, 37-28 coming into today's contest. They're tied for first in the National League Central with the Chicago Cubs. Craig Counsell has them lined up as follows, leading off as usual. It's the center fielder, Lorenzo Cain, followed by the reigning National League MVP, Christian Yelich, in right field. You don't necessarily see this often, but it has been less unusual as of late. Ryan Braun, playing on a Sunday, he's batting third and in left field. Cleaning up tonight and behind the dish, it's Yasmani Grandal. Mike Moustakas follows him, batting fifth and at third base. Travis Shaw, as a result, getting the day off with the lefty on the mound. It's Moustakas at third. And following him at second and batting sixth is Hernan Perez. Jesus Aguilar enters the starting lineup for today's game. He'll bat seventh and man first base. Orlando Arcia gets the nod at shortstop. He seems to be a rock out there. And batting ninth, handling the pitching, it's Chase Anderson as a starter this season. 2-1, a 3.71 earned run average in six starts. 27 strikeouts to just 10 walks with Anderson in the rotation. His last time out, though, June 4th against the Marlins, he gave up four earned runs on seven hits. Three of them were home runs in just four innings and took the loss, his only loss as a starter this season. Perhaps something breaking in Anderson's favor, though, when he takes the mound today. Clint Hurdle, a lineup full of lefties. Adam Frazier, Colin Moran, Gregory Polanco. Stephen Brault, the pitcher, if you want to count that. He is leaving the lefty Corey Dickerson, regular left fielder, on the bench for today's game, and it's probably for good reason. Chase Anderson has been dealing against lefties this year, a sub-200 batting average against lefties. Righties, though, hitting nearly .330 against the Brewers starter. We'll see if it adds up to a strong outing for Chase this afternoon at Miller Park.
How's the turf? Is weather a factor in today's game? Let's get the Steins Garden and Home field and game conditions. Steins Premium Weed Control Plus Lawn Food is comparable to national brands for less. Formulated exclusively for Wisconsin lawns. Steins. Planted in Wisconsin, growing with you since 1946.
A little bit of a Milwaukee cool down for today's contest. Right around 65 degrees at first pitch, Miller Park. Cloudy and humid. 75% humidity for today's game, but no rain expected, so it should just be overcast. It should be fairly comfortable, roof open or closed. Not that it'd be an issue. Beautiful place to watch baseball, Miller Park. Still to come, we're going to get you the daily scoop from the skipper, manager Craig Counsell, addressing the assembled media before today's game with the latest on his squad. Also get you an injury report. An update coming on that front, let you know who's hot, who's not. Also hear from the franchise, Tim Allen. He's going to be on after the last pitch of tonight's game. The Bayview Shade and Blind Baseball postgame show here on The Fan. I'm Anthony Mandela getting you ready for the game. It's the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin On Deck show presented by Allegra Allergy Relief on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Now, here's the behind-the-scenes info as we take you inside the clubhouse. Brought to you by Coach's Pub and Grill on South 13th Street. Stop in today for lunch and dinner and try their fabulous Friday fish fry. Now open, Coach's on Lake Dunoon. This is the Pella Windows and Doors On Deck show on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
50 minutes to first pitch. It's Anthony Mandela getting you ready for it here. It's the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin On Deck show presented by Allegra Allergy Relief on 105.7 FM, The Fan. Also find us on 1250 AM. You might be listening on the free radio.com app, radio.com sports. You can stream it on your computer. You can listen live anytime, anywhere. It's pretty outstanding, gotta say. Milwaukee Brewers trying to sweep the Pittsburgh Pirates today. It takes good pitching to win baseball games, especially on the back end of a bullpen. Dan Plesac did it better than anybody. He's the Brewers' all-time saves leader. He's now with MLB Network. And as we go inside the clubhouse, Dan Plesac himself joined the Wendy's Big Show Friday afternoon coming into this series. Let's find out what he had to say on the crew.
Appreciate the time and always fun talking first place Brewers. Boy, isn't that the truth, man. I tell you what, it was a blast doing those games in Pittsburgh last week. I had a four-game set Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Got to see a little bit of everything. Mike Moustakas having a big night. The bullpen kind of having a little bit of a letdown with Josh Hader, but they picked him up on Saturday night. And a big win yesterday to salvage one of those games against the Marlins.
Let's talk about this Keston Hira thing. So Keston Hira plays pretty well offensively. Defensively, he struggled a little bit. I get it. Travis Shaw coming off the IL. They send Hira down. They put Shaw back up, which now means Moustakas has to go back to second base. And offensively, he's been swinging the bat really well while playing his more natural position of third. How much a believer are you in these position guys playing different positions and it affecting their offense?
You know, I proceed with caution, and I'll tell you why. There is a method to David Stearns' madness. And I was more frustrated last year by the Brewers' inability to go out and get what I thought they needed was a starting pitcher, yep, or they had no chance to catch the Cubs. So what do? They acquire Jonathan Scope and Mike Moustakas. Their theory was, we like our offense, but if we're not sure if we're deep enough, instead of being up by two runs, let's be up by four or five going into the seventh, eighth, and ninth. And it worked. Conventional thinking, I saw all four games. I saw the big home run they hit off of Felipe Vasquez to tie that game that the Brewers eventually won in 13 innings on Saturday. Hira, bat the ball skills. Hira, I'm telling you, he can hit. The guy can hit. But I do kind of agree with, I'm not going to say he hurts you at second base, but there was a double play that should have been turned earlier in that game on Saturday when Brandon Woodruff was pitching. It's not that he's a bad fielder. I just think he needs a little bit more refining. His throwing is a little inaccurate. I can understand where the Brewers are coming from, but I can understand where you're coming from and the majority of the Brewer fans that are saying, wait a minute, keep Moustakas at third, keep Hira at second. Travis Shaw was struggling. What the hell are we doing? There's a method to David Stearns' madness. Let this thing play out, and if it plays out wrongly in the next week to 10 days, one of the things that the Brewers like to have is they like to have options, and they like to have depth. And that's one of the things they stress coming out of spring training. And if they need to, they will call Hira back up when they feel the time is right. They know now that the guy can hit big league pitching. He's just got to clean up that defense a little bit at second base.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on that. My next question would be, though, the Keiko Kimbrel situation. How does that affect the National League, and most certainly how does that affect the Brewers?
It hurts the Brewers and it helps the Cubs, because I think when you play Milwaukee, it's not a secret. This is what you do. You play to try to get the lead and stay away from Josh Hader. When you play the Cubs, it's let's run the pitch count up on those starters and let's get to that bullpen. Now, Pedro Strop closed the game today. The Cubs won 3-1. They beat the Cardinals today. Now, Strop hasn't been very good pitching the ninth inning. Now, it's going to take Kimbrel at least 2.5 to 3 weeks to get ready. But I think he's what the Cubs needed at the back end of the bullpen. So you want to stay away if you're an opposing team. You want to stay away from Hader. And it has been the recipe to beat the Cubs, get to that bullpen, and chip away at him. And I think they cleaned that up right now. It's going to be interesting because I look at these two teams, and to me, they're better than the Cardinals. Even though the Cardinals, they keep hanging around. You know, mm-hmm. The division hasn't put the Cardinals away. Going in today, after this game today, the Cardinals are, 2.5, 3 games back behind the Cubs? But I look at the Cubs, far superior starting pitching. Listen, even if you're the biggest of Brewers fans, you have to admit when you're running Cole Hamels and Yu Darvish and Kyle Hendricks and John Lester out there, the Brewers don't have that depth. They were so fortunate Sunday that Zach Davies stepped up and gave them 8 innings because the bullpen is tired. Yep. Chase Anderson hasn't been able to get through 5 innings, and they struggle with their starting rotation. And it's hard to continually win like that. So with that said, you look at the two teams, they're the two best teams in the Central. The Cubs starting pitching is better. I think the Brewers bullpen in the lineup is just as good. You're splitting hairs if you're trying to talk about the two teams, but if you're old school and you believe it's about starting pitching, the Cubs might have a leg up right now.
Talking with Dan Plesac of the MLB Network, Brewers legend here on the Wendy's Big Show. How do you view run differential? Because Brewers sitting there, looking pretty, 7 games over 500, plus 1 in the run differential. Cubs plus 57, Cardinals plus 16 after the loss today. The Reds are in last, and they have a plus 37 run differential, and they're 5 games under 500.
Amen. Enough said. We are so caught up with numbers in the game of baseball, right? And you check a graph and say, oh, my God, we were winning 9-1. Our win probability was 94.7 in the seventh inning. And we lost. How did we do that? Hey, listen, it happens all the time. The numbers are a gauge, but they're not an end-all or a be-all. And you touched on it. The Cincinnati Reds at plus 37. They're 28-33. Now, they were off to a miserable start. They were 1-8 their first nine games, and they've played a lot better. I think in a perfect world, you feel good if you're a front office personnel or you're a fan of a team that's in first place and your win differential is good. You could stick your chest out and say, like, oh, we have, you know, plus 75, you know, run differential. It doesn't mean anything. You know what means anything? When you look at the standings at the end of the year, absolutely, nobody remembers the defensive run saves. Nobody remembers the run differential. Nobody remembers what your home record was and your road record was. The bottom line is you have to get to where the Brewers did last year, playing meaningful games in the month of September, preferably the end of September. And right now, you don't even remember what the Brew Crew's run differential was last year. You don't remember what their home and road splits were. The bottom line is, get to the postseason. They were one game away from going to the World Series last year. And don't be down at dumps. This is a good team. Somehow, some way, they always seem to find a way to get themselves off the deck. Their starting pitching struggled, but somehow, some way, they always seem to be near the top of the division. And this I will say, all of the teams in the Central, if there's one team that the Cubs don't scare, they don't scare the Brewers. The Brewers aren't one bit intimidated going to Wrigley Field, and they're not intimidated anymore when the Cubs come to Miller Park, and a lot of the fans there are Cub fans. The Brewers know they can beat the Cubs.
You know what, Dan? You're absolutely right, but a lot of people don't look at that anymore. I mean, we got all these numbers, rest in peace numbers, R-I-P-N-E-R, and you're right, at the end of the day, first, second, and third, where are you going to be at? But with so many numbers involved in baseball, how do you just automatically dismiss that and throw it away?
You don't dismiss it and throw it away. And I think when you look at all of the really good teams that are going to be playing in the month of October, you could pretty much, all of those teams have at least two and usually three really good starting pitchers. And that's what the Brewers, listen, Brandon Woodruff before his last one had been lights out. Zach Davies to me is, listen, he's not overpowering, but Zach Davies can manage a game. The Brewers are going to have to figure out, you know, it didn't work with Corbin Burns. They're going to have to figure out what they need to do to get a little bit more depth in that starting pitching. And if and when they find that out, and that will happen. And I know a lot of people a little bit disappointed that they weren't in on Dallas Keuchel. There's a reason that teams have waited this long on Dallas Keuchel. The Braves took a flyer on him. I think between Gio Gonzalez and Yoli, Chacin has to be better. Chacin, when he comes back off the injured list, has to be better. If he's not, the Brewers are going to be in trouble because they can't go into the second half of the season with Zach Davies and Brandon Woodruff. Gio Gonzalez is a nice addition. Somebody else is going to have to stand up, and it's going to be Woodruff, Davies, and somebody else to get the Brewers to the postseason.
Dan, on the offensive side, if it's going to be Travis Shaw, if it's going to be Jesus Aguilar, maybe it's Eric Thames, or maybe it's Yasmani Grandal, or a name that I didn't mention there. Who do you think is going to round out this season at first base being productive for the Brewers?
You know, I know it's not a hot topic right now, but I just, from what I've seen, and I haven't watched every game every day, but there's something that tells me that there's still some good baseball left in Travis Shaw. He hasn't forgotten how to hit, right? Mm-hmm. And I know he struggled. I get it. I've seen the numbers under 200. I get all of it. It's so easy to pile on to a guy when things are going bad. I think what he needs to do, if he could get some at-bats and start to hit a couple balls out of the ballpark and get some mojo, he's a tremendous fielder. I think he's an upgrade at first base over Thames and Aguilar. That's who, you know, and it would be nice for them to get another left-handed bat with some pop into that lineup. That's kind of what I see happening, but it's up to Travis Shaw to make that happen.
Moving forward here, when you look at the Brewers, what is different about them than it was last year? I mean, it just feels like there's something that's – but although they're in first place, it just feels like they're not the team that they were last year with their rotation?
Well, the reason last year is they had three options coming out of that bullpen, right?
Okay.
So Josh Hader was throwing the ball well. Woodruff was throwing the ball great out of the bullpen, and so was Jeremy Dreffers. And then you add Corbin Burns to the mix down the stretch, and it seemed like if we have the lead after five, we're winning.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what? It's only June, and you can't keep going to the bullpen in the fifth inning every single night. It works in tournament baseball, and it works from, like, September 15th on, because if you're lucky, you have a day off here and there, and you can reset that bullpen. It's really hard to win and win consistently when you have one guy right now, Zach Davies, throwing the well. Forget about Woodruff's last one. He's a much better pitcher than that, and he's going to bounce back. They need to find somebody besides Davies and Woodruff, and it doesn't have to be, you know, it doesn't have to be a Cy Young guy. Somebody that they can depend on to get them through five and preferably six innings like they get out of Davies and Woodruff. If they get that, they're going to be just fine.
Most people thought that Burns really would be the guy coming in. What really has been his little bugaboo?
A pitch total is really high. Mm-hmm. I think the thing that intrigues me about him, he came in and got a big save on Sunday, two-thirds of an inning against the Pirates. He's this power guy. He's a young guy. I think he's still learning on the fly how to pitch and maneuvering his way through lineup. He gets called up. He goes to the bullpen. You don't have time to establish four pitches. You're basically going out there throwing 96 to 100, big, hard breaking ball that plays for an inning or two. And now you're going into that rotation. You've got to change speeds. You've got to move the ball in and out. When you come into the bullpen, you don't have time to establish four pitches. You got to be like Josh Hader.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have one overpowering and one, you know, swing and miss pitch. With Hader, that's both. Most guys are a big heater and a split finger or a curveball. Hader's just, he's got that powerhouse fastball. And Burns is just, don't give up on Corbin Burns eventually down the road being a starter. And it might happen. It might happen this year. But I think he's better suited right now for being in the bullpen. I'm sure he doesn't want to hear that. Mm-hmm. But I think if you're looking for some long, the Brewers have to start getting more length out of their starting pitching.
Mm-hmm.
It's plain and simple. If they don't, they're going to continue to win two, lose three, win three, lose two. They're going to stay above 500. They're going to stay close to the Cubs, but it's going to keep them from going on one of those streaks where they go like 12-3 in a 15-game stretch.
Dan, enjoyed watching you all weekend long in Pittsburgh for the four-game set, but I got to ask you, as a left-handed reliever, to see Josh Hader walk up and throw like 97% fastballs and just strike everybody out, how ridiculous is what he does to you, somebody that's been on that mound, stood 60 feet, 6 inches away from home plate, and he just lets it rip?
It's pretty amazing what he does. He's a very special talent. There's a couple of ways you get hitters out consistently. One, you have to have good stuff, but a couple of things. You have to have deception and angles, and he has both. He's hard to pick up. He turns his back to the hitter, so you're seeing the back of his number. The arm slot is a low three-quarter delivery. One of the reasons I think of many why he's so successful, he's not afraid to throw the ball in on righties. Most lefties live away on right-handers, and they're comfortable righties feeling comfortable in the batter's box. He's not afraid to let a fastball rip inside, and he can throw strikes on the inside half. He's a nightmare to face. He's confident. You really have one chance. I think if you go up there and you try to ambush him early, you look for a fastball, something cutting hard middle in, because that's what he's going to do. And if you can get lucky and get the barrel to it, you can do some damage, but it's awfully hard to do that against Josh Hader.
Baseball is 90% mental, and the other half is physical. So who's injured on the crew? Here's today's injury report. This is the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin On Deck Show on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
That was Dan Plesac talking some Brewers pitching. He himself, one of the best Brewers pitchers, their all-time saves leader. That interview is on the Wendy's Big Show Friday. It's up at 105.7 FM, thefan.com's Fan On Demand. If you want to hear the full conversation, or go back and give it a listen. Radio.com app as well. The injury report, as we take a look at the crew, Plesac there talking pitching. It's all pitchers on the injury report for the Milwaukee Brewers. Bobby Wall, of course, out for the season, tore his ACL during spring ball. Brent Suter still rehabbing from last year's Tommy John surgery. Corey Knebel recovering from this year's Tommy John surgery. And then two guys at the top of the list, Yolis Chacin and Gio Gonzalez, expected to be contributors for the squad this year. Those other guys not due back. little bit of an update. You heard it before the show in the sports flash from Nick Bode. This is from Tom Hodricourt of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, that Yoelis Chacin expected to come off the injured list sometime on the Brewers' upcoming road trip to Houston. That's a two-game set that starts Tuesday. After that, they're going to be in San Francisco and San Diego against the Giants and Padres. So sometime in that window, Chacin expected back. Gio Gonzalez, however, don't expect him back. It's going to be at least until they return from that road trip in Houston, San Francisco, and San Diego. So that's the injury update on the crew, the latest on the banged up Brewers. Still to come. See what Craig Counsell had to say today before the game. Also go and talk to the franchise, Tim Allen. That's coming up on the McCormick Law Office Roundtable. Also let you know who's hot and who's not as these Milwaukee Brewers try to complete the sweep of the Pittsburgh Pirates. I'm Anthony Mandela, getting you ready for Game 3, Brewers Buccos on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
This is the Pella Windows and Doors On Deck Show on 105.7 FM, The Fan. What's Craig Counsell have planned for today's game? Let's find out with today's scoop from the skipper on The Fan.
Get you the scoop from the skipper in just a second. Thanks for listening. Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin On Deck Show, presented by Allegra Allergy Relief. Anthony Mandela getting you ready for this afternoon's ball game. The Brewers look to defeat the Pittsburgh Pirates and complete the sweep at Miller Park, something they haven't done since 2016, and the Brewers in a good position to do it. 37-28 right now, tied for first in the National League Central. By virtue of the tiebreaker, though, with the Chicago Cubs as it stands right now, the Brewers lined up for the first wild card spot. It's never too early to scoreboard watch when you think you're in a pennant race. The Cubs today, well, they've got a little bit of a thorn in their side. It's very likely that the Cubs could fall today at Wrigley Field. They host the St. Louis Cardinals Sunday Night Baseball under the lights on the north side of Chicago. So with the Brewers win today and a Cubs loss, the crew can take sole possession of first place in the National League Central. Manager Craig Counsell talking before the game, as he does before every game. It's time now for the scoop from the skipper.
Craig, I'm sure this is a question on everybody's mind. Which one of your relatives gets the Yelich bobblehead?
Which one of my relatives gets the Yelich bobblehead? I'll pass it on to one of the kids for sure. That's behavior based for them. Yeah. Yeah.
How do you feel about how your ball club is playing right now, and particularly against the Pittsburgh Pirates, a team you guys have had some trouble with?
I think we've had a very good offensive series thus far. The first two games, we've done a nice job, just lots of pressure on them, lots of pitches seen. We talked about that yesterday. 90, you know, we've been at 90 pitches for their starter, close to it through three innings both days. So we're doing a good job putting pressure on them. That's what you want. You want to capitalize on every opportunity, but you feel like if you do it a lot, you're gonna come through. So nice job on that end, and I think our bullpen's done a nice job this series as well.
Well, the offseason spent obviously money on Grandal and Moose. Do you like what they've done in general so far?
Well, yeah, I mean, of course, yeah, they've been outstanding, both of them. They've been huge parts of our offense, both very consistent. Yaz's at-bats are just, you know, he kind of like would be an example of this series to me, all his at-bats. He just grinds out at-bats, very disciplined, really knows what he wants to do. And for Moose, his swing's just in a great place. It really is. The ball's going all over the field. He's very dangerous to me when the ball's going all over the field. It's just, there's hard hits in there to all areas. He's been, even the shift stuff's gotten tough with him. He's hitting enough balls to the opposite field, it's becoming difficult to shift him. So, they've been very important, consistent, middle of the order bats for us.
Yeah, I mean,
not, I mean,
bottom of the order.
they're just like, well, it's more that they're guys that have been in there every day, and then, you know, Yaz is playing a bunch. He's a catcher, but he's playing a bunch, and he's a switch hitting catcher. That hits in the middle of your lineup. You know, there's not many of those, so that's what he's allowed you to do. You know, he's allowed you to put a catcher in the middle of your lineup. That's, you know, matchup difficult to match up against. Switch hitters, you know, whatever position they play in the middle of your lineup are really valuable because they prevent matchup difficulties.
Yaz has logged a ton of innings, understandably. You know, that's left Manny. You know, his playing time hasn't been as abundant. How would you say he's done handling that role to this point? It's not an easy role.
Yeah, I mean, Manny just, look, he was hurt, and with this stretch of the season has allowed Yaz to play a lot. And he's really productive, too. So Manny's doing fine. He hasn't had a lot of chances. He really hasn't.
That's the thing.
So it's not, I don't, you know, he's doing great. Yeah. I mean, he just hasn't played a lot. He's got like 50 plate appearances. I mean, that's a, we're, you know, with the DL stuff. And so he just hasn't played a bunch. So I don't really think it's fair to, I mean, offer assessments.
But
50
games in. I was just asking more like, you know, it's a tough position for a guy to be in. I mean, you know that you're a backup. You know that this guy's going to play.
Yeah, I mean, the guy ahead of him is putting up an incredible season.
Yeah.
So it's you know, it's, I think it's a little different when you look at it like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
What's his impact been, like Grundahl, I'm talking, behind the plate? Have you been able to see that?
I mean, look, one of the things that Yaz is very good at, he's a very good receiver. I mean, and that's what his, you know, since the start of the catcher, the metrics with catching and grabbing strikes, he's always been one of the guys among the top guys. So he definitely provides that. That's you know, a big reason for it. It's adding strikes to the pitcher he had a game the other night where he was really, really good at it. So it's always something that he's excelled at, and he's continued to excel at it here. That's number one. That's really important. You know, I think the other stuff is. I think we're at a point now where he's familiar with everybody, and I think that's just for any catcher. It's difficult and challenging, you know, he's there now, but it takes a while, man, to like understand strengths and weaknesses and what does the pitcher think he can do and know he can do versus what we want him to do. You know, there's a big difference there.
Since that game in Minnesota, Claudio's been on a nice roll. I think 6 scoreless appearances now. Has anything changed for him? Just locating the ball better?
The big thing is we've tried to get Alex out there. I think he's good when he's pitched, and we've tried to get him out there for a little longer. So, you know, he can kind of feel his stuff. And so you've seen him out there for inning stints lately. I think it's been good for him. And then with Alex, it's just the ball should be on the ground when Alex pitches. And that's what he's done lately. The ball's been on the ground. And sometimes with Alex, like, the ball goes on the ground and they get hits, and we're like, what's wrong with Alex Claudio? Nothing's wrong with Alex Claudio when the ball's on the ground. But sometimes when the ball's on the ground, it's going to go through. Yeah. Yeah, I think offensively, Orlando's made a pretty dramatic turnaround here from last year. And it's centered just around balls and strikes, just recognizing balls and strikes. There's a noticeable improvement in the quality of his at-bats. And he's worked hard at it. He's found a comfort zone. Really, I think, won through a really consistent routine with Andy Haynes. You know, he's actually looks really different. He's got his hands kind of away from him and lower, pretty significantly different than last year. But that's just kind of a feel thing that he's come up with that's put himself in a good position, and it's been working well.
Staying on Orlando, I think it was Thursday we talked about his defense and how that plays. As far as his athleticism, how that plays, especially with Moose still running second base, how is that relationship between him and Moose kind of built over this?
Yeah, I mean, it's – I think, you know, I think it started out good, and then obviously when Travis went down, we moved Moose back to third, and that changed things. And with Keston, so I think really it's a little bit on Moose because Moose is the one learning the new position a little bit, and I still think that, we're about 40 games in for Moose at second base approximately, and there wasn't any second base before this, so we're still learning. He's still getting the kind of feel of the finer details of the position, but as far as him and Orlando working together, I think that's as good as it's going to get. But I think Moose is still benefiting from experience at second base for sure.
Travis Shaw yesterday, he had another walk. Friday, he had two walks and an RBI hit on a nice at bat. Have you liked what you've seen from him since he's rejoined the team?
Yeah, I think he's been on base 7 times so far since he's been back. I think he's seeing the ball better, and we always think, look, that's along the lines of Orlando Arcia. If you're making good decisions on balls and strikes, the hits are going to come. And that's what I feel. So I think Travis is in a good place to see him laying off the down stuff very well. And like, people challenge Travis north-south. That's what they do. They challenge him up with hard stuff and down with soft stuff. And he's done a nice job laying off it. And that means the hits are going to come.
Anything new on
Jacine? Jacine's throwing a bullpen right now. So he's doing well. Gio's played catch the last 2 days. Just catch. He's not throwing today, and he'll start throwing again tomorrow. It's kind of 2 days on, 1 day off right now. So that's kind of the stage he's in. He's like I said yesterday, Chassin will likely pitch a game on the road trip, start a game on the road trip. Gio, we're farther off.
Some of the Brewers are hot, while some are not. So when it comes to the crew, who's hot and who's not? Brought to you by Bayview Shade and Blind, providing the highest quality window fashions since 1926. Find out more at BayviewShade.com.
Milwaukee Brewers as a squad are hot. They're 5-2 in the month of June. One full week into that month of June, we see who's hot in the month of June. Christian Yelich, of course. He's hitting .560, best on the team. 7 driven in, best on the team, and OPS at a ridiculous 1.625. But he's been doing it without the long ball, just 2 homers. That's second on the team to Mike Moustakas, who is also hot. 4 home runs to lead the team. Second on the team with a .333 batting average, and second on the team with a 1.241 OPS. And overall, as a team, taking pitches, the Brewers are hot. They've drawn 30 walks this month, second best in the National League only to the Padres. Not hot. Ben Gamel has cooled way off, hitting .167. That's last among position players currently on the 25-man roster. Just 2 hits in 12 at-bats, none of them for extra bases. And Jesus Aguilar continues to struggle, a second-worst .182 batting average this month. 2 hits in 11 at-bats, a single and a double for the former All-Star first baseman. Going to take a quick break, wrap things up. It's time for the McCormick Law Office Roundtable, the franchise. Tim Allen, host of the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show here on The Fan, joins me. It's straight ahead. You're listening to 105.7 FM, The Fan.
It's time to debate the big issues surrounding the crew. Get ready for the roundtable. Brought to you by McCormick Law Office, the back injury attorneys. This is the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin On Deck Show on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Just a couple of minutes left here in the program. Anthony Mandela getting you ready for Game 3 between the Brewers and Pirates at Miller Park. 1:10, the first pitch, and the Brewers a chance to sweep the Pirates at Miller Park for the first time since 2016. It's time for the McCormick Law Office Roundtable. Joining me on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, you can hear him after every Brewers game, host of the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show presented by Milwaukee Admirals Hockey. He is the franchise, Tim Allen. Tim, we're up against the clock, so I'll just jump right into things. Craig Counsell mentioning before the game today, he likes how this offense has looked as of late. Travis Shaw, of course, back as of late, hitting .250 since his return. does not have the long ball going, not really flashing any power. But I guess what are your overall first impressions, Tim, of how this team is faring with Travis Shaw back as opposed to Keston Hira?
Yeah, no, Travis Shaw is doing what he's got to do right now, Anthony, and it'll come. And he's drawing his walks. He's getting a feed. He's getting a read. And it'll get there. There'll be a hot streak, just like all these guys. You can't just exclude Travis Shaw's history of having hot streaks as if it's never going to happen again. It will happen. Now, will it be in time to help out the offense? It looks like he's on his way. It does. Moose on a tear. Braun, by the way, guys, Braun's putting together a hell of a season here. He's had some clutch hits. He's hitting for some power. He's hitting right in the middle of that lineup. And the rest of the guys, I mean, I'm not overly concerned with the offense, really, not at all.
I got you. Tim Allen joining me right now on the McCormick Law Office Roundtable. And just a final thought for you, Tim, before we end things here on the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin On Deck show. Craig Counsell giving us an update today as well on the status of injured starters Yolish Chacin and Gio Gonzalez. You and I talk, Tim, a lot. You're a big proponent of this.
How he works, and for example, Chase Anderson, keep the team in the ball game. You got Hauser behind him, and you piece it from there. Freddie Peralta is key with what you're going for here, the starting rotation. He is the key here. If he gets on track and he's going to play, he's going to start, what, Tuesday? If he gets on track and gets some sort of rhythm on that mound, look out. That's a huge, huge get for the Brewers rotation if Freddie's on track.
Tim, thanks for the time. We'll hear you after the last pitch tonight.
Yeah, I'm recovering from my sister's wedding here. So.
Oh, I'm sure there will be stories about that to come.
It's a recovery period today for sure.
Some load management. Tim, appreciate the time. Look forward to hearing from you.
All right, man. Thanks.
There he is, the franchise, Tim Allen, host of the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show here on The Fan. He joined me on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. If you're looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019, look no further and call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935. My thanks to Tim for joining me on the roundtable. Nick Bodie producing the show. Evan Heffelfinger covering us down at Miller Park with some pregame audio. Brewers Pirates, Game 3, Miller Park. Can they complete the sweep? Tune back into The Fan after the last pitch. We'll be talking about it. Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show. I'm Anthony Mandela. You've been listening to the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin On Deck show, presented by Allegra Allergy Relief on The Fan. Take it easy, Milwaukee. Enjoy the game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today. Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.